Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
One of the big messages, I think this is a really big message that we've probably all seen appear across the media over the past couple of years, especially for women, is you can have it all. You can have it all. But is this a toxic phrase? Does it put people under enormous pressure to live what is perceived to be the perfect life? Or is it something healthy and a goal to aim for? To discuss this, I am joined by chartered counselling psychologist Niamh Delmar. Niamh, thank you so much for coming in today.
Morning, Lottie.
I think that this is a hugely important topic to talk about, because especially in today's age with social media, and I see this in so many of my friends. So let's talk about being able to have it all. I get that this is supposed to be an empowering, positive message, but can taking it literally be problematic for people?
Absolutely. As you say, it was meant to be an empowering message, but it's disempowering, because if we want it all and we have it all, or we feel we have it all, we have to give it all. And we then, that leads us to having a harsh inner critic, high expectations, expectations from others as well.
And I think it's just so unrealistic. I used to think you could have it all, but I think you could have it all at different times.
That's it. And something has to give as well. You can have it all at different times, exactly. But people sometimes get into this trap of wanting it all, having it all at the same time. So they have this timeline and checklist of what they should be doing in their life and when it should be happening. And it's like packing it all in really fast, and then they hit a wall.
And that's so interesting that you're saying a timeline, because I agree with you. I do find myself frequently, and I hear friends frequently saying, oh my God, but I'm 30. I thought by 30 I'd be doing this, and oh my God, I'm 35 and I haven't achieved A, B and C. And it's like, well, when did this checklist appear? Why do we feel under so much pressure?
Exactly. And the checklist is sold to people as that's going to bring you happiness. You know, from a very young age, we see this happening, and people coming into therapy for me, sometimes exactly like you say, they're actually grieving for the life that they thought they'd have at a certain timeline, and their checklist isn't matching up.
So where does that come from?
It starts very young. I think this kind of push to, you know, achieve comes from parents, schools, even subliminal messages, social media, you know, to have it all, to get it in there, to pack it all, to have a full life, to, you know, fill up your life with everything. And that's going to lead to happiness, which we know it doesn't. It leads to medication. It leads to mental health issues. It leads to burnout.
But do you think a lot of that, do you think it's more prevalent, first of all, nowadays?
Definitely seems
to be. And do you think that's because of social media?
It's social media plays a huge part in it, because, you know, especially for younger people, it's their world. It's the world they live in. They're not just living in this other world. That is their world. So the messages that are in there, the messages that they're picking up from other people, the influence from peers, it seems sometimes to people, especially young, vulnerable teenagers, that everybody does have it all. And that's what they should be aspiring to, because it can look great out there. Like somebody has kids, they have a family, they have a career. So it can look good, you know, because they're not hearing the other side of the story that I might hear in therapy, you know.
And I also think a lot of it is, and I'm not being biased, but gender wise, right, for women, you'd see women, because, like, let's just be factual, we have to get pregnant to start the family. And, you know, we're the ones who have to take usually a considerable amount of time off work to have those babies. And I feel like a lot of people, including myself, think you've to do both roles sometimes.
Yeah, and this came up in the pandemic a lot, and a lot of the studies come out will say that women will take more on themselves. The division of labour, even if both people in a relationship are working, is not equal. Women will tend to take on more childcare responsibilities. They'll take on, you know, probably taking time off if children are sick. In general, that's how it works, and that's what we know from the research. So it's not equal. And as well as that, women will sometimes take on too much themselves, and they won't take the help, and they feel that they should be able to be the great mom, or they should be able to do the career as well, and look at everybody else seems to be doing it, you know. So it's also our internal contributing factors as well as the external ones. Men are better at compartmentalizing, and in general men are better at taking care of themselves, you know, which isn't a bad thing. They'll have the boundary, they won't have the guilt, and they might have their guilt-free shower, or they'll have their guilt-free, you know, interest. Women will
is
often
that what
say
it is? They don't have the guilt.
They don't seem to have a lot of guilt. You know, a lot of men that will come into me, they still might experience, you know, stress and burnout and everything like that, more to do with job-related stuff. But they will kind of feel, you know, that's okay to take my time off, to have my shower or to have my hobby or my interest and still maintain it with, even if there's babies in the house, you know, and that's a boundary. And women have to claim that boundary back themselves as well.
See, I know that. Okay, so I agree with what you're saying and I know you're telling me the truth. However, when I allow something to fall, whether I go, okay, I'm going to focus on family and my husband and my child, and something falls by the wayside at work, I feel guilt. Likewise, if I focus and go 110% on work and I have a week where I'm like, I literally did not get to read one book with my child this week or whatever, and I feel horrendous guilt. So no matter what I do, I end up feeling guilty, even though I know it is not humanly possible to do it all.
It's so common for women to feel guilty. And this is a big one. They feel guilty. They feel inadequate in all the roles that they're trying to do. And they're kind of overthinking things as well. You know, rather than focusing, just learning to focus every day. What went well today? You know, and that it doesn't
I don't
have
think
to
I
be
ever
absolutely
do that.
Everything. And that's the thing. That's what's missing for a lot of people, especially women, is what went well today? And, you know, to accept that you can't do it all. And also to look at the inner critic. What is the inner critic like? Where did it come from? Why is it there so big for certain people? Or that inner harsh taskmaster, you know, with the whip behind you, do more, 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 it's not enough. These are internal contributing factors that we, especially women, need to start looking at and thinking it's not serving us well anymore.
So what do you recommend? Do you think at the end of the day it's good to sit down and have a moment where you focus on what went well that day? Or
that's it.
Because it can lead to serious health problems.
Absolutely. It can lead to complete and utter burnout and stress and lots of mental health issues.
Okay, so actually I think that's important to talk about. How can people recognise if that's what they're on the road to?
Yeah, I think the first thing that sometimes gets disrupted is sleep. So sleep can start getting disrupted. And that's a vicious cycle then, because then the person's exhausted the next day. So then you're going into the next day with your battery empty. So sleep is a big one. Then, you know, there's physical ailments as well, like aches and pains and headaches. And the person then is overthinking, overdoing, overreacting. So to compensate, they start trying to overdo more. Then they're overthinking more, you know, and they're overreacting. They drop something. Oh, God, it's a big, huge reaction, you know, and that makes then the battery go even emptier. So the person is then operating on adrenaline.
Yeah. It's so true. And I notice it in myself when something that would not usually tip me over the edge tips me over the edge. And that's when I try to check myself and I'm like, I feel like my kettle is full and the simplest thing sets me on boiling.
That's it.
So it's kind of, you have to step back and say, I need to empty the kettle because the smallest thing is setting me off.
And that's a really good indicator. You know, the smallest thing is setting you off. And people around might be thinking, oh, it's not a big deal, you know, but you're like gone, boom. So your reactions.
And I think also that starts so early in life for us that it just becomes normal.
Yeah. Yeah. And often people that get burnt out aren't aware. You know, it might be somebody around them that says to them, listen, you know, you're a little bit, you know, kind of a bit over the top about that there. Or I notice you're not yourself lately. So other people might notice it more. The three big symptoms of burnout would be emotional and physical exhaustion, depersonalization. So the person doesn't really feel they're there anywhere. They don't feel they're really fully there with their kids. Don't feel they're really fully there with their job. They're in a fog, you know, and that exhaustion as well then leads to that also. And just feeling that you're not really getting joy anywhere, you know. So a lot of people come into me and they're burnt out from work or life or whatever it is. And it might be that they just don't really get pleasure in things they got pleasure in before.
So what are your tips then? Because I think at this time of year, coming up to Christmas, it's the ripe time for things like this to happen.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know about other people, but I myself, towards the end of the year, have a habit of going, OK, let me look back on the things I wrote down in January and said I was going to do this year. Did I do them? And if I haven't done them, I can be really heavily hard on myself.
Yeah. And people need to flip that and look back and say, what went well?
Okay.
You know, what improved, what went well, what changes I did make, and what could I really look at and, you know, alter for next year. The first thing to do is really assess yourself. Like, sit down and assess what's working, what options are there, what didn't work, what help could come in. You know, what am I? What are the contributing factors about me? Perfectionism, high expectations, inner critic, and what are the external factors like workload, whatever it is? What can change? What can be manoeuvred around? Sometimes we just have to change ourselves within, you know, so we meet everything a little bit easier and softer. And, you know, things like meditation are really helpful because they give you little mini breaks throughout the day. But a big one when somebody's really burnt out, they might end up with a GP, or they could be in with me and it'll be rest and recovery. Now, not everybody can do that if they're self-employed or if they have a job that's a lot of pressure on them. But, you know, rest and recovery is key. If you can't get it with time off with work, try and take little mini breaks and step back, row in the help. Don't try and be the martyr and try and be the one that can do it all. Just say to people, I'm struggling. Can you give me a hand out here?
And that's something
and that's
that
a hard thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to say, I'm struggling.
Do you ever have to give up on something and let something go by the wayside? Like, if you have to do, say you find yourself in a position where you're thinking, I've too much on my plate, something has to go. How do you decide what it is that goes?
First of all, I think it's to decide, what are you giving of yourself to each of those? What are you expecting? What are you expecting of yourself? You know, it's okay to kind of not always be able to do the stories, or not always to be able to sit down the floor with the kids and, you know, create a magical moment. That's not always possible. Mm. But when you can, it's great, and acknowledge that. And the same in work. Step back a bit. A lot of people are very dedicated at work, which is great. But sometimes we need to care a little bit less, you know, and save a little bit more for ourselves and say, well, that's beyond my control, or that's not in my limitation, or I can't do anything about that part.
Oh, it's so hard. Even hearing you say it makes me go, how can I do that?
Yeah, and it is those little daily things.
Yeah.
Of taking the breaks and taking the mental breaks and stepping back, and also not to create mental dramas, because, you know, how we think, we've 50 to 80,000 thoughts a day. Each one of those is going to affect you within a minute. So what's going on in the head? We need to assess, what are we thinking? If it's going to start like, oh my God, I've too much on my plate, I'm never going to be able to do this, oh, how will I manage? That's going to start bringing up the stress. Yeah. You know, we need to look at those thoughts that help the stress.
Yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, we need to watch those thoughts, you know, because we really can go very dramatic up there.
We really can. And by we, I mean me.
And me too.
So finally, Niamh, what would your thoughts be around? I just want to get a final thought on social media, because I do think it's something that people in my generation are... The you can have it all message. If there are young women and men looking at social media thinking, she has a family, he has a family, they're so successful in work, and oh my God, they've already got their Christmas decorations up.
Yeah.
What do they need to do?
Stop comparing yourself with other people. Each person has their own individual problems. Even the shiniest of the shiniest on social media can have problems. You know, people are human and real. Social media is not real. It's a version of reality. You know, so young people especially need to understand that. Like when they go to see a movie, they know it's not real. They need to do that with social media. This is not real. Parts of it are, but it's not all happy, clappy, shiny out there for people that they might think. Influencers, celebrities, whoever it might be, people are human.
It's the version of their life that they've chosen to show you. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Niamh, thank you so much for coming in this morning
and
putting a bit of light on this. It's certainly given me some food for thought. I hope you come back and talk to us again soon, because I just think it's something we could all do going into 2024, is learning to give ourselves a little bit more of a pat on the back and a little bit more of a break. And just being a little bit more kind to ourselves. So, counselling psychologist Niamh Delmare will be back after this.
Jem Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.